Join Ed Morse as they continue celebrating their 75 years of excellence. And right now, during the Red Zone sales event, every pre-owned vehicle on the lot is on sale. That's right. Rush in today and save with their best pricing, payments, and incredibly low financing. Plus, you can rest assured knowing every pre-owned vehicle is backed by Morse with inspections, reconditioning, and all available warranties. 75 years later, the Ed Morse Auto Group is still saving their customers thousands on the vehicles they love. So make sure your next vehicle is backed by Morse, because if it has their name on it, you have their word on it. And if you need to bring your car in for service, Ed Morse has a price match guarantee on all services, including tires too. Find a location nearest you and go to edmorse.com today.
Coming to you from the middle of Canes country, you're listening to the number one rated football podcast in the Dominican Republic.
Oh, la.
These are the Orange Bowl Boys.
Brought to you by Ed Morse. Join the 1.75 million people that have been backed by Morse. With the price protection promise, Ed Morse will match any competitor's price or refund you up to $7,500.
Here's Toast, Roman, and Scoop.
Welcome to the recap show on this beautiful Sunday following the OBB tailgate, which was a rousing success. We'll talk plenty of it. That's probably more fun to recap that than anything else. But obviously, Michigan State Sparty came into Hard Rock and knocked off our Hurricanes 38-17, a final score that one OBB member picked on the nut. That would be me. I'm the OBB member that picked that final score exactly.
Good job, Toast.
Thank you. Boys, listen, as I told you, I've prepared a written statement as a response to this game.
Holy hell.
I'm not sure what you two have prepared. I don't know who wants to go first, but let's recap the wonderful football game we all saw yesterday. Who starts?
I'll start.
Okay, Ro. The floor is yours.
You have your written statement, and I have an apology. I want to apologize to the fan base for one Rhett Lashley. You know, I'm starting to realize, and obviously you guys follow along, and I appreciate the support on X's and Ro. I break down films. And then last, about 2 years ago, went on all these circuits, did interviews. Who's your guy? I was unequivocally not shy about it. I said it was Rhett Lashley. Now you go ahead and forward, Toast, Scoop. You guys realize we are scoring the least amount of points in the ACC, right? We are scoring about 18 points per game. Dead last, dead nuts last. And I feel, hey, I'm sorry. I let you down. I really did. I was like, man, that was my guy. I thought the spread up-tempo offense, it worked at times last year, but I think it's to the point now where it's figured out. You know, they figured Rhett Lashley out. The tempo, and I'm going to leave it with this. You would have thought Miami running tempo against a team from the Midwest, Big Ten, Michigan State, you would have thought that the tempo would have buried them. It didn't. You know the only team that got buried yesterday? It was Rhett Lashley's offense. It was the Miami Hurricanes, and they lost by 3 touchdowns.
Scoop, your turn. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you may have picked the score. You picked the wrong team. I picked the correct team. I didn't think we'd get blown out that bad. But I'm not so sure the weather was a factor, Toast. Right?
Yeah.
As you thought the weather would be a factor. Yep, not so much. Yep. Not so much. Maybe for us. So you know what's very interesting is I think you told me this. PFF, right? They go and they do their grades and they do all this fancy stuff about, you know, players and teams and the whole thing. The Miami Hurricanes, your Miami Hurricanes, our Miami Hurricanes, soon to be your Miami Hurricanes, dead last in the country in tackling efficiency.
We missed 30 tackles. Yes, 30 tackles yesterday.
30 tackles yesterday.
30 of them.
30. 30. 30. That's an average of 7.5 a quarter.
Here's the even worse start. How much money did we make their running back because Kenneth Walker forced 22 missed tackles during his Madden rating in the NFL is going to be through the roof for breaking through arm tackles.
I tell you what, man. Well, first of all, he's good anyway.
Yes.
But holy hell. I mean, we knew he was going to be good. We knew he was going to be a test as far as a running game. I don't know what you guys want us to say, really. I mean, fire up the coaching search. It's gotten to the point. The experiment's over, right? The experiment's over. And we always said Manny was on a little bit of a shorter lease because he's been here. This is his sixth year. Not his third year. This is his sixth year in the program. A little bit shorter leash. Experiment's done. They didn't come out any differently yesterday than they have all the other big games. The Canes are 1-4 in their last five and getting doused in the process. Blowout loss to UNC. Loss in the bowl game. Blowout loss to Bama. A field goal, a missed field goal away from losing to App State late, and blowout loss at home at noon in the sun, in the humidity to a Big Ten team who doesn't even understand what 85-degree weather is. Time to go. Time to move on. Start at the top. Get rid of the shoe stealer. We call him a shoe stealer from in perpetuity. Before you leave your office, buddy, send us our care package. You owe it to us. Kick rocks. I wish Manny would have worked. I do. It doesn't. It hasn't. It won't. Mario. Or Lane, who puts up 60 a game at Ole Miss went from Hugh Freeze and all the paid money you can have. Let me put my glasses on. Roe and I were out late last night. Rent to some strip clubs after the game. I mean, it was a long, let me put my glasses on. It was a long night on the couch, out in the backyard.
Uh-huh.
And then we went out, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is what we do to celebrate the loss. But Hugh Freeze, and then they go into sanctions, and they're in the toilet. He gets there. They score 60 a game in 6 months. Got me?
I have a statement about where we are and what happened.
Like yesterday. I'm going to go ahead and
read this right now.
You prepared this like written?
I prepared this. This is written. Because I want to make sure I hit all the points. Because this is major. This is a major thing. This isn't just
Are you quitting?
No, I'm not quitting. But okay, here we go.
Because we just hit 6,000 followers this morning.
I know. My statement is not for Manny Diaz or for Blake James. Instead, right now, I am talking to Dr. Frank and to the Board of Trustees. On behalf of all Miami Hurricane fans across the globe, fuck you. And I don't say that lightly. It's deserved. Not only have you failed the student-athletes enrolled, but you've taken the allegiance and devotion of all Hurricanes fans for granted. You don't deserve us. Not even close. I love the University of Miami with all my heart, and I never took a single class there. This school, while small, private and upper class, has always had a magical relationship with the surrounding area that is none of those things. And the reason, athletics and primarily the football team. Now, you might not realize this while you're in your ivory towers, but when trash talking with fans, some as a last resort will try and take a shot at the U's academics. And I love being able to shut them down, proud that the U is an incredibly fine academic institution. But I'm also just as proud that it is one of the most significant college football programs in the history of the sport and deserves to be given the opportunity to continue that legacy. I also believe that the only reason both the academic and athletic sides can't simultaneously achieve greatness is because you don't want them to. You've placed your thumb on the scale. Let me ask you this. When's the last time ESPN shot to a skybox during a primetime game and there was Dr. Frank glad-handing alumni? I've never seen it. But perhaps I was in the bathroom. As fans, we've been told there are trustees who agree with the fan base and who are equally outraged at the downward performance of the big three sports over the last decade. To that mystery group, just stop. If you aren't able to lobby your fellow trustees to understand the issues we face after 10 years and to change their minds, then you are a useless minority. Either step up and be public with your comments or sit down and stay silent. The last thing this fan base deserves or needs is your feigned disappointment and anonymous quotes. It's condescending. Your job is very simple and straightforward. You need to hire a proven, top-notch athletic person to run the athletic department. You know, just like you hired a top-notch medical person to run the medical school. And ideally, you need to have this done by Thanksgiving. Shouldn't be too difficult. Just look at your alumni rolls. Candidates galore. I hope you realize how messed up it is that the fan base cares more about the U than those running the U, especially since most of us never took a fucking class there. That's it.
Well done.
Bravo, Lito! You got nothing more to say, dude. Listen, here's the other thing, dude. And Scoop, you can say Mario. Dude, that ship has fucking sailed, bro.
Of course it has. But I have to have some sort of semblance of hope.
Of course, 100%. Give me 100%. Hope. Listen, y'all got to realize, this program has only gone out and hired a big-name head coach once in its history. And that was Mark Richt. That was the outlier, bro. Jimmy Johnson wasn't a big-name hire. Dennis Erickson wasn't a big-name hire. These were all guys that were head coaches at smaller schools. Right? We've never gone out and gotten the Urban Meyer or the Nick Saban or that guy. We don't need to get that guy. We just need to hire the right fucking person that we've missed on for the better part of 20 years. Since Butch.
Yeah, you know what? And I agree. I mean, there was a sentiment yesterday that I didn't think I was going to share at first, but then I did. You know, we had such a special time with the OBB tailgate, right, boys? I mean, it was people flying in from California, basically Canada. Had heart-touching moments over there, met some great people, laughed. It was the greatest time, the fans. And I was thinking, man, we have such a good fraternity. We have such a good family. And I looked at that stadium, right? 11:45, I packed up my truck. I looked at that stadium, and I'm like, I know what's about to happen. You know, because I've watched the last couple weeks, and I'm like, they're going to come out a little unprepared. They're going to come out flat. And I look at Scoop, and I'm like, something in me, I just don't want to walk into that stadium. And he's like, let's go to the house. And that's what I did. And I did.
I hate both of you. Let me just say this. Hold on. Because I will say that in the first quarter, they looked better than they did in the previous two games. The defense came out flying, in my opinion. And that first drive, right up until the fumble, they were moving the ball. And then the wheels fell off. So I thought they came out a little bit better.
They did. And what happened was then the routine Miami nature started to take root. And what was it, right? The routine. You had some drops by upper-class guys. How many times have we sat there and said, like, listen, if they're having struggles, you know, you got other guys. Romello Brinson comes in, catches everything. The transfer Charleston Rambo catches everything. He almost broke a school record for receptions yesterday. The guy catches everything. You got these guys who are routinely letting you down. Now, let's be honest. That wasn't Mike Harley's first drop. Right? That wasn't his first drop this season, this game. The last game, he has three drops in a season. He had some drops last year. He just had a couple good, successful games down the back stretch that got him out of that Mark Pope and Wiggins class. And I don't like the messaging. I don't. You're sitting there benching Mark Pope for drop balls. Meanwhile, you let Mike Harley go out there continuously hurt you. Go with Arroyo. So then that starts to rear its ugly head, right? Defensive was a mess. It was the same cutback against the grain. We did not know how to contain it. It seemingly looked like they ran the same four plays. We talked about the missed tackling, 30 missed tackles. You had a national sports columnist for Sports Illustrated basically say to us, it was the worst tackling performance he's ever seen in his life. You know, he's not associated with the program. He's not an alumni. He's not speaking at it from an emotional standpoint. He was just tuning in to watch the game because it was a national game. And what's the first comment he said? So then at that point, after that first quarter, it just became Miami football, what we know it to be, especially under Manny Diaz. And later on, I'm going to tell you that I don't even blame Manny Diaz anymore. But for right now, I'm just going to stay there. It turned into a typical Miami game that I thought it would turn into as the game transpired.
Yeah, and really, what epitomized the entire thing, what epitomized our life as Miami Hurricane fans, and the tweet that we sent out, welcome to Miami Hurricanes football, right? You're on the 5.
Yeah.
Mallory drops the touchdown, and you get 0 fucking points after a missed field goal. That's what we live. And if you don't, as a fan, this is the worst part. I fully expect that. I expect that to happen. As 180-degree opposition, I'm watching the Florida-Bama game yesterday. Great game. I'm just a fan of college football these days. That's what I'm a fan of. Great game yesterday. And every time Bama was inside the five, you know what I assumed? Touchdown. I don't assume that they're not going to get points. I don't anticipate that they're going to fall flat in their face. I know damn well they're not going to fall start or have a holding penalty. But if you don't expect that from this program at this point, you don't watch enough Canes football. The first drive that I turned on, I was a little late because I had to get back to the house. But the first drive I turn on, this is it. This is, oh my God. Now I'm just thinking of more. This is more, right? Stevenson fields a punt at the two. Perfect. Okay, good. We don't want to let that go out. You know, we don't want to let that bounce. Let's just give it a shot. Maybe we get a touchback. Fields it at the two, right? Holding penalty on that play, by the way. Then the next series, you proceed to have a holding penalty, two false starts, and a sack.
When you talk about Stevenson, Scoop, it seems like when he's fielding punts, he fields them with his heels at the 5-yard line as opposed to the 10. Would that be the coaching philosophy that we're dealing with there?
This isn't his first time.
Oh, don't even get me started about special teams coaching.
I mean, Borgalis with a 58-yarder there, or whatever that was. So, Patke, great job, dude. Really great job on the coaching there.
Well, you realize, too, in the last, we gave up against App State, we gave up a, you know, kick return to the house. We got one blocked. You're on crack if you don't think we had another one blocked yesterday. It was just by some stroke of luck, the guy decides to go ahead and tackle Lou Headley, but he was in a prime position to block the ball. I think he shocked himself that he didn't actually block the ball, that's why he tackled Lou Headley. Because that's one guy you don't want to tackle, right? That's probably the one guy on Miami's team you probably don't want to mess with. But I'm like, that should have been blocked. Then you have those, like, you know, what Scoop was alluding to, you have those, unexplainable fair catches down there. But this is going to go in and tie the same bow, right? He's a flunky. It sounds like the word package is perfect. His name, he's a packy. It's exactly what he is. He's so over his head, right? And now I'm looking at Manny Diaz yesterday, and I got to give credit. I had a conversation with a buddy of mine, and he tells me he's not mad at Manny Diaz. And I'm like, That's funny to say, especially when you lose by three touchdowns and you kind of, you know, defense falls apart at the end. By the way, I said that the point total per game for the offense was lowest in the ACC. The point differential, your defense gives up more points than anybody else in the ACC. So there you go, Manny Diaz. But at this point, I'm going to ask you both a question, right? And I posted this online, but I'm going to ask you the question. Your son's 16. First got a license. You get him a Lamborghini for his first car. You should already have some questions going off in your head. Why would you give your kid a Lambo at his 16th birthday? Is anybody surprised when that 16-year-old a couple weeks later wraps that Lamborghini around a pole? Right? So my question is, when the kid wraps his Lamborghini around a pole, who do you blame? Who do you blame? Yeah. I'll tell you who I blame. I blame the parents who bought it for him and gave him the keys. Because that's not what you should be driving for your first car. And guess what? All these mistakes that Manny Diaz, and I feel bad for the guy. Because he's the one coach that when he sees things perceivably broken, he'll fix it fast. This isn't Mark D'Onofrio and Al Golden. This isn't watching Mark Richt try to call plays when he shouldn't have, when he should have relinquished this. This is a guy that literally sits back, looks at the big picture, has fired people. He's fired people, demoted people. Got rid of the whole sides of the ball because he knows it's not right. Now, every move that he perceivably could make, it's all spent. There's nothing he could do. So it leaves one factor. He just doesn't know what moves to make anymore. There's no moves to make because he just doesn't have the experience in this position. He should have never been handed the keys. And that was the big argument when he was given this job. He was going to Temple for a reason. He should have been making these mistakes against Temple for a reason. You know, a guy like Mark Richt, somebody else, 10, 15 years, hey, I've seen teams try to do this before. I've seen a team flat like this before. I've seen these problems on offense before. This is how we fixed it, and they get a handle on it. Manny doesn't even know what he doesn't even know right now. He doesn't even know what to fix. because there's no way you can explain the fact that you did everything in your power to get better, and you're worse. You're worse. You give up more points than anybody after three games in the ACC, and you score less points than anybody in the ACC. You're dead last in where it matters, points on the board and points against. He's dead last. He's over his head. He's over his head, and I blame the guy who gave him the keys, who gave him the shot, who's incapable of making a good hire. Blake James needs to go. Shoe stealer.
Yeah, listen, Ro, I'll tell you what. When it comes to Manny, first of all, I'll give him credit that he recognizes issues. And I will say instead of he fixes them, he tries to because he's missed on every hire. He hasn't fixed the offense. He's now gone through two offensive coordinators. He hasn't fixed the offense. He hasn't fixed the defense. It's now on him. Now he tries to fix them. He understands his issues, but he still can't fix them. But I also agree with you 100%, and I've been saying this from day one. The University of Miami is not on the job training. It should not be your first head coaching gig. If you're a football coach, a basketball coach, or a baseball coach, this should not be your first head coaching gig. But with our athletic director right now, it is. It's on the job training because that way you promote from within. Listen, and this is true in corporate America. It's happened to me. I know Scoop's not ever been in corporate America. So he doesn't know. But in corporate America, the big thing is if you promote from within, you can pay them less. And that's what we do. We promote. Gino's getting paid less because he was promoted from within. Blake was promoted from within. So I mean, it's just the theme. It's the theme. And that is not how a top athletic program runs itself. Just you don't run it on, well, this will be on the job training. No, that's for places like App State. That's for places like UConn. That's for any number of different programs. It's not for the University of Miami. And that's where our athletic director has screwed us because he's an incompetent douche.
Well, yeah, these are all very good points. Very good points. Couldn't have said it better myself. Yeah, look, Blake's got to go. We know Blake's got to go because he's the one who put this entire plan in motion, right? And as much as I've touted Manny, you want Manny to win. You want him to win. You need him to have success. We don't want to go through this again. As soon as that, and I'll go back, I don't know when it was, but it was pretty soon around Christmas or New Year's, whatever it was, when, and I, this was back when I wasn't trying to be terribly controversial on Twitter, but he made the hire, and I immediately tweeted one word, and it was lazy. And that's what it was. Not that I didn't want this to work out, because I wanted it to work out more than anyone. Because we want to have this program successful for us to have fun for OBB Media. We want the program to be successful. But the bottom line is when I see something like that, that is lazy. Did he want to promote from within so he could spend less money? Maybe. Did he not want to have to go through the work of having the conversations and having the interviews and dealing with agents and getting the board of trustees to be on board? You had to sell. If you want somebody, let's relate it to me, right? If I want somebody to buy this $1 million listing of mine, this $3 million listing of mine, this $5 million listing of mine, if I want somebody to buy that, I have to fucking sell it to them. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of conversation. It's a lot of manipulation of words, and it takes thought, and it takes effort. And you know what he didn't want to do? He didn't want to give any of that effort because he doesn't care. It doesn't matter to him enough to give the effort of talking and trying to persuade the board of trustees into spending more money. Because you know why? This is why I believe Mario is more fit than Manny. But it takes effort. And he didn't do it because he's lazy. And now you see what lazy gets you. You know what lazy gets me when I don't sell that $5 million listing of mine? It gets the other guy down the street paid because he gets the listing next. and puts forth the effort to sell it to somebody, he gets paid. This is what lazy gets you. This is where we are. And until lazy ass dude can't even put forth the effort to put a box in the mail. Think about that. Think about how lazy he is. It's on his desk, he said. He can't even have his assistant put it in FedEx. Because you know what I would have taken?
Effort.
Effort.
Yes, effort.
Yeah, it's, you know, gave the, and not only, I'll go back to my analogy of giving the kids the Lambo. He gave the wrong kid the Lambo. It's like, oh, you gave Manny the Lambo? What are you, like, oh, come on, you don't buy Manny. Like, of course it was a lazy hire. Yeah, I'm back to this. The meteoric declination of this offense is just beyond me. I don't see how you went from 34 points a game. Year two, he's always taken a step. And now you have Rhett Lashley. Basically, he's not fooling anyone. It is such a, it's the offense just is so stagnant. It almost, it felt like the energy vampire was on the offensive side. Defense came out, was doing its job early, but as the offense continued to get in its own way, oh my goodness. I hate to double back around again against the continuity of what we were just talking about, but I'm sitting here in my mind like, why is the offense so bad? And at the same point too, did we discuss this, but why do you get a running back in there? You never give him the ball, but we give every single carry to Cam Harris. Yeah. Does that make sense to anybody else? And like the difference between their running back and our running back was like night and day, it was astonishing to me how much better their running back was than Cam Harris. And this is a kid who couldn't even play at Wake Forest. He goes to Michigan State and he's absolutely killing it. Miami is like powerless to stop this guy.
I was asked yesterday at the tailgate, Toes, what is the difference between Rhett Lashley's offense when it was crazy successful at SMU and the difference between it now? And I said, it's very simple. The difference between Rhett Lashley's offense at SMU and UConn and his offense here is the same difference between the ACC and the AAC.
Yeah, good point.
That's the biggest difference. You guys can all say what you want, and also point out for yesterday because I was the idiot. I'll take the egg on the face for this one. I said that we'd win yesterday's game because Mother Nature would deliver it to us.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
And let's just point this out: the Michigan State outscored us in the fourth quarter, 21-3.
And that's what I'm saying. And their quote, I love their quote. We were going to drag them into the deep water where we lived. We were going to, and basically what they say, where we live, right, exactly, where we live. You're from the Midwest, where we live. You come on and you put it on. And I'm always reminded of that fourth quarter promo that they used to have at the Hard Rock Stadium. It's the fourth quarter. And Jimmy Johnson, you run like a deer. You know, they were definitely not running like deer in the fourth quarter. I mean, they were smoked, and then that's when you look at it back on paper, and you look, and I'm almost thinking, you know, this spread up tempo offense, and I'll always maintain this. If the University of Miami was forward thinking and became Oregon before Oregon became Oregon, it would have worked, right? Miami would have a couple more national championships. In my heart, I know that to be true. But you know what? I realized yesterday, it's about 10 years too late. It's about 10 years too late because nobody's fooled by your tempo anymore. Nobody's leaving people wide open. They have a year film to study what you did last year. Just the tempo does not do what it's supposed to do. It's actually giving more of an advantage. I saw that week one, week two. It's giving more of an advantage to the other team. So now my next prerequisite, and it has to be there. I need somebody to figure out what they don't know so that they know when it doesn't happen. And I know that makes zero sense, but you got to understand how teams are going to combat you before you even know. Like, there's no way in the world you should be that stagnant. You should literally look yourself in a mirror, like, how can I defend myself? How could I stall myself out? Like, how could I, you know, derail myself? What kind of defense would give me fits? And you need to anticipate it because you know what's going to happen somewhere throughout the ACC because this is what they have good coaches. Listen, SEC gets all the buzz, the limelight. There's some good ass coaching in the ACC. And that's what's happening here. These guys got some good stats. They stay up at night. They study you. And that's what's happening right now to Rhett Lashley in year two. These teams are figuring them out, and this offense just does not have the luster that it used to.
Listen, man, you see, we were taking shots at North Carolina. That coaching staff turned them around. They put up 60 on Virginia yesterday. On Virginia, yeah. And Virginia's going to come in here and beat us. And listen, I'll tell you right now, and I wasn't joking when I put this out on Twitter. I know I didn't graduate from any college, but I do have college credits at three universities across the country: Lynchburg College, UConn, and I also have 3 credits from a creative writing course at Central Connecticut State University. I'm rooting for the Blue Devils Saturday, baby. I'm rooting for CCSU. That's my squad. I'm going. Like, listen, that'd be so cool for that program. And with all due respect, Miami doesn't deserve the dub. We don't deserve it. We've done nothing to deserve anything good for this program right now.
I have another quick concern. The writing on the wall, and we've been at this, for several seasons and a lot longer as lifelong, fans, right? I think we know where this season's going, right?
Oh yeah.
Has anybody said? Yeah, we know where this season is going. Like, there's no debate. I mean, this is Manny's first year, 6-7, written all over it. I mean, this is not a very good team. The talent that you were supposed to count on, the Nesta Silveras, who has 4 tackles in 3 games, including 0 sacks. Gervin Hall has 1 interception in his career. Amari Carter looks lost and can't tackle. Bubba Bolden played possessed for first 4 games of his year, and now he can't take a right angle. All these names you heard and were supposed to be the major contributors to this program have let it down. Let's just be honest. They have not done what they're supposed to do here at this program. You got a bright young core and nuclear and focus. Man, I hope when they pull this trigger after this year, because I have a feeling that that's what's going to happen, they can go ahead, have their ducks in a row. Wink, wink, nod, nod, duck in a row, right? They know what they're doing. They pull the trigger so it can be seamless and you don't have to reset it. An extra unnecessary year because, and I know you said it's pipe dream. You don't know what's in Mario's head. The only person who's going to turn, the only person that could turn down the Miami job is Mario. I have a feeling they'll make the numbers work if they need to. The fiscal responsible board of trustees members have made sure of that. Manny's peanuts, doesn't have a high buyout. This isn't a Florida State situation. So if he wants to come here, I believe in my heart he will come here. But you need to go ahead and make that happen. Fire Manny on a Monday and hire Mario on a Tuesday, and you'll turn around and you'll even have a better recruiting class and you don't even miss a beat because there is some talent on this roster. And I hope if they do this, they do it right. They do it right. All right? Just do it right. It doesn't have to be as bad as you let it be. Just do what you need to do and let's go.
Listen, and then that's my whole thing. I only want the board to make one move. If the board goes out and makes a change at an athletic director, the new AD, if they hire the right person, will come in and do everything that's necessary. And we all know what those things are. I don't have to talk about those things. The new AD, if qualified and knows what they're doing, knows exactly what has to happen next. And there's a few heads that are going to roll, and they'll take care of that. That's their job. But you have to hire the right one. It's only one hire. Board of Trustees, one simple hire, 60 days to vet them and everything. You're done by Thanksgiving, and then you can put your feet up and you can just watch because that AD will take care of everything else.
Yeah.
Agreed. That's my biggest concern, though.
Yeah, of course it is.
That's my biggest concern because are they going to go, you know what? I think this is a Blake problem. I don't think so. I mean, unless somebody goes in there and convinces them, puts forth the effort to tell them why Blake's the actual issue, I don't think he leaves, which creates just a bigger mess.
Yep.
Because then what? Then Blake's going to go out and he's going to put forth the effort to hire Mario.
They're going to say,
well, wait a minute, Blake. Say, I don't know if this is such a great idea because, you could have hired him last year or you could have hired him 2.5 years ago at half the price. Why should we hire him now at double the price? Why didn't you sell him on us two and a half years ago? He's already behind the eight ball on that. Mm-hmm. So if Blake's here, there's no way Mario is going to be here because he's not going to be able to convince anybody of anything.
I think the Manny hire, I don't know if I 100% on board with that. Because at a certain point, you're looking at the guy who allowed Al Golden in place or Mark D'Onofrio as a defensive coordinator for 5 years and didn't have the testicular fortitude to come in there and basically say, hey, we need to make a change. And then you turn around and you give the keys to Manny, who we've all decided is the premature, you know, teenager behind the wheel of a Lambo who just crashed it. So I think at the point, we're at the point now, there's enough body of work with Blake James that now even he, like the Manny Diaz, he was, when he decided to keep Manny and when he decided to hire Manny, that was his career. Right? He went in bed with that Manny hire. And now that it's falling flat on its face, and if it continues to derail like the way it looks like it's going to, my goodness, I just don't think he survives. I don't. I think there's going to be enough outcry. I think you challenge the Board of Trustee members. You call them more of a silent minority. But they're a silent minority, but with a little bit of a different, unique caveat here. They got a shit ton of money, and they put their names on buildings. So if they literally want to go ahead and force this issue, they threaten the financial aspect of it. You're going to see a drop off now in terms of fan attendance, I have a feeling, because this is the way Miami fans are. It's no offense to our, this is just how we're made. I'm at a beach right now. I'm chilling. I'm loving life. If this was Saturday yesterday versus going to the game and the product that they're putting out there, I'd rather be here. I'm going to be honest. That's just where I'm at this point in my life. My family means more than what I'm watching. I'm a lifelong fan since I'm 5 years old. Don't tell me, don't be a fan later. Bro, really? Don't be a fan later? But I'm telling you, I think Blake is running out of time. I think this season is the nail in the coffin. If you want to give me my personal opinion, if Manny fails, Blake fails. I think you're looking for a new AD and head coach at the end of this year.
I hope so.
But look at it. Like I tweeted yesterday, the basketball team was a laughing stock. You literally went down to like two scholarship players. Like I applaud the Larinaga hire. It was perfect at the time. But then there's just that it happens for everybody. Eventually, you're just going to hit a wall.
And here's
Bobby
the thing,
Bowden
though.
Hit a wall.
He didn't hire Larinaga. Mark Eichhorst did during his 3 weeks that he was here. He didn't even hire Larinaga. So he has overseen the demise, the downward trajectory of the basketball program, as well as the baseball and the football, when he had those two hires. Like, he has missed on everything, bro.
And that was a huge nepotism hire as far as the baseball coach. Listen, we're just going to say what it is. That team is extremely dysfunctional as well. I mean, that is a national. I know football is the king. I get that. And baseball, that's kind of the afterthought. But that has multiple championships as well. Baseball is a storied baseball program, too. There's a lot of proud alumni, just like there is proud alumni for the football team, that are not happy with the direction of the program. You can't. They've been home. You have teams in our state. They haven't won it ever. How many national championships in baseball has Florida won? How many has Florida State won? I mean, it's not hard. It's not easy to win a national championship, and Miami's done it four times, right? So that's a storied program, too, that's like falling off a cliff right now. We talked about basketball. So this is beyond it. It's the three major men's sports, right? And no offense to any other sport there, but the reality is this is the world we live in. Those sports, including football, carry the most weight, and that's where your job's going to be focused. You could be great in other areas. He could be great at raising money. He could be doing this. But when you fail at that as an athletic director, when you fail in those three, you don't deserve a job. I mean, you just don't. And it's like when you see the same thing, we're going on a lot of years here with Blake James at the helm. It's not like this isn't new for him. He's been here a long time. He's overseen a lot of things. And it's just a lot of bonehead, perplexing moves. And you applauded, hey, the only tenured coach that was good, Mark Richt, we all applauded it, was fine. He was at the tail end of his career, too, really didn't have that much in the tank. We found that out pretty quick. So even that hire, you got to kind of put a little asterisk to it. I just don't think he's capable. So, you know, we start looking around and figure out who's the next athletic director for the University of Miami, because somebody needs to come in here and kind of shake it up.
Yeah, I mean, listen, dude, Blake James has been here now for, what, like 8 years? He started in 2013. He is he's an office guy. He's a fundraiser. He's not the guy that's going to build an athletic program. He's kind of like the, I don't know, he's the business guy. He's not the athletic guy. He just doesn't, and we need an athletic guy in there. It's like in my statement, they didn't hire a non-doctor to head the medical school. Why would you hire a non-athlete person to head the athletic department? Just, I mean, you know, you look at the guy at Clemson. He went to UM Business School. He played football in college, and he's an athletic director. Now he's a damn fine one, possibly the best one in the country, but he has a background that would lead you to believe that, hey, this guy can be an athletic director. That's not Black James's.
Pause real quick. what is up with Clemson?
Yeah, I know.
They,
huh?
They are. You check their message, and how much more frustrating is that to be a fucking Miami Hurricanes fan? Because this is the year you could actually win the ACC. You're telling me in year three, Manny Diaz, you can't amass enough talent and not coach on your dick enough that you can't beat North Carolina, and Clemson can't score more than 14 points. Their message boards are talking, hey, it was a great run. We enjoyed it while we had it. That's literally what their message boards are saying right now. This is the most beatable Clemson team I've seen in 10 years, but you know what? It's the most beatable Miami team I've seen in 10 years. How the hell does this happen? You know, you finally have a year where you could go ahead and knock off Clemson. They look so, so pedestrian and beatable.
Dude, how
and
about
there's
this?
No chance in hell. There's no chance in hell we beat them.
You've got a situation where this year, at the end of the season, Miami and Florida State are going to combine for 15 losses.
Yeah. Yeah, it's sad. It's sad. You know, Manny Norvell. Fire Manny Norvell. We'll make a partnership between Florida State and ourselves. Fire Manny Norvell. That's just, we know you guys want a new coach by now, and so do we. So let's go. You could probably, they'll hire Manny Diaz as a defensive coordinator the very next day. Watch him. He's the alumni that he is.
All right, boys. So, Where do we wrap this thing up? Obviously, we've got Central Connecticut State coming up this week, and we had 46,000 yesterday. I'm guessing about 15 for the Central Connecticut State game.
And what time is it? Have they announced the time?
Oh, hold on. Let me see if they did announce a time. It is 12:30 p.m.
Oh yeah. This is golden.
There. Yeah.
Yeah. The players' families and Blake James. That's it. That's all that's showing up.
I mean, no problem. Everyone gets to park inside the gate next Saturday.
Yep. Yep.
I mean, no yellow yacht lot.
Yep.
All right, boys. So, listen, you know what the best way is to come back from a loss like that, everybody? To have a bunch of Costco muffins in your house. Costco muffins make
Costco
the morning
muffins
after a Canes loss that much better. Go to Costco today.
I have some. I'm at the beach right now watching a volleyball tournament, and there's like, yo, they're munching on all of them. I ended up going home with a couple. I think we gave the whole East Lot Costco muffins yesterday. We offered Dennis Erickson a Costco muffin.
We did. Yeah. That was awesome seeing the coach. We saw Dennis Erickson swung by. Malik Rozier swung by the OBB tailgate. Listen, man, it was a very cool event yesterday. Thanks to everybody that swung on by. We had a great time. And listen, as bad as the game was, from 8 a.m. until noon was a ton of fun.
Yeah, agreed.
Might have to do that again next year.
Yes, but not at a noon game, and it'll be later in the season.
It'll be a yeah, night game.
Like in November.
And it'll be, that's right. And you can get there at
it was
3
hot.
p.m. or 4 p.m. for a night kickoff. Yeah. And it'll be later in the year, which means it gets dark at 5:30.
Exactly, yep.
And it'll be 78 degrees, and it'll be beautiful. I will show up on time.
All right, so we will. Ro, what's your schedule this week? When are we dropping our next episode? Are we doing a Thursday drop or a Friday?
Nah, it looks like it could probably be a Thursday drop this week, or a Wednesday drop. Wednesday. Oh. I'm good for either a Wednesday drop or a Thursday drop.
All right, beautiful. Then we will get a little earlier drop this week for OBB as we preview Central Connecticut State University. And, wow. You realize we got a lot of games left this year. Still a lot of games on the docket.
We're used to this kind of season. We're pros. We've done this isn't our first rodeo.
We got nine more of these to do.
Put forth some effort.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
We'll put forth some effort.
We'll put forth
seasonal
effort.
Podcast, baby. Seasonal podcast.
Yeah, the season's about to get shorter. All right, boys. Well, then, as always, go Canes.
Yo.
Yes.
That's another episode in the books. The Orange Bowl Boys are brought to you by Ed Morse Automotive Group. Visit edmorse.com. Want some extra Orange Bowl boys? Then join Club OBB and become a premium member for live events. Get access to the private Discord chat, plus watch live streams of episodes as they record. Join now by going to patreon.com/orangebowlboys. Club OBB, no Gators or Seminoles allowed.